as we report about the childcare crisis, we often wonder, why are people not protesting about this in the streets? Well, today they are. More than 700 childcare providers are shutting down for the day in at least 20 states. They're rallying for better pay for educators and more affordable care for families. In Texas, one of the organizers of an event at the state capitol is Britannia Brown. She's the owner of a childcare business called Our Loving Village in Stamford, Texas. She's also a single mother of four-year-old boy-girl twins. Britannia, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, thanks for having me, Deepa.
So your business is closing for the day, and telling parents you cannot care for their children for a day is a big deal. Tell me why you're participating in the action today.
Well, me and my families are very close. We're the village that it takes to raise a child. And I've talked to them for a while about how it's so unaffordable in our area to pay for childcare. And because of the pay that I get from many of the families who need subsidized childcare, I'm having to close my doors to prevent a permanent day without childcare from happening. Because I'm often having to choose between keeping our lights on and food on our table.
And just to be clear, the pay that you're talking about that you get for subsidized children comes from the state of Texas.
It sure does.
Now, closing for a day is putting some of your parents in a tough spot. It sounds like you have a close relationship with them. Have they been understanding of why you're closing?
Absolutely. They've been very understanding of why we're closing. They actually advocate alongside me. What's more, it's getting even bigger of a crisis out in my rural community. In 2021, there were 352 zip codes in Texas, according to Children at Risk, that were classified as childcare deserts. And most of them are rural communities just like mine in Stamford.
I mean, you drove more than 4 hours with your two young kids to the state capitol. What is the impact of being there in person, Britannia?
It's more than just showing up. I am here on behalf of my families to make sure that our Texas lawmakers don't forget about our rural communities. And I'm making sure that the burden of the true cost of care, which is often financial, emotional, and socioeconomic, is not just placed on the shoulders of women, especially Black and brown women like me.
Yeah. You know, Britannia, it sounds like your parents are very supportive, maybe because you've talked to them and you've explained, but there may be parents out there saying, you know, we have to lose childcare for a day. How do you make the case to parents that their lot is really tied with yours in terms of advocating for better?
Absolutely. I'm looking to New Mexico because providers and families came together and won permanent funding for their providers to earn living wages so that every child in New Mexico can have access to childcare, and it is a guaranteed right. I know that if we can find a way in New Mexico, we can definitely find a Texas-sized solution because 27% of our childcare programs are closing. And we need to demand our higher wages for our childcare workers because 90% of us don't make a livable wage.
And I love hearing your little one there in the background.
Yes.
Say hello from us.
Oh, yeah. NPR says hello.
Britannia Brown is a childcare business owner, single mother from Stamford, Texas. Britannia, thank you.
Thank you.
Some childcare providers in other cities are choosing to remain open during today's actions, but they're still calling for change. Let's go to Boston now, where Latoya Gale is Senior Director of Advocacy for Neighborhood Villages, a nonprofit working for high-quality early education and care. She's also a mother of four. Latoya, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So you're asking parents and guardians today to help flood state lawmakers with phone calls and emails about how challenges with childcare have affected their careers, their finances, their ability to start or expand their families. We'll get into some of your policy wish list in a moment. But first, I want you to share your personal response to that prompt. How would you fill in the blanks about how a lack of childcare has impacted your life, Latoya?
So I have four children and I have them like in two groups. So I have a couple of teenagers and I have a couple of younger ones. And my youngest is only one. With my oldest two children, I did not work because childcare was so expensive. And so me and my husband had to do this thing where we were like, does it make sense for you to work or should you stay home with them? And I always think about what would I have done? What would my career look like? How would things be? I always imagine myself as a CEO or of a Fortune 500
or
something.
Well, and that's how others get ahead, because they keep working.
Yeah. Not just me, but it impacts so many women. When you choose to stay home because it's so expensive to work, your career trajectory is completely different, and your income, earnings, and potential over your lifetime are so much less.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody's going to argue with that. So let's now fast forward.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, like, you've got late teenagers, but you now have two young kids, and you're looking at the childcare crisis all over again. What
all
does it look like
again.
This time?
It's worse here in Massachusetts. You can pay between $400 and $600 a week for one child.
Right.
And the part that I've learned along the way is our early educators are also not getting paid a lot, even though it's costing families so much money.
Absolutely. And, you know, my producer, Ashley Locke, just laid it out so clearly for me. She said, parents, they are struggling with high costs. Child providers, they also have high costs, so they have to charge a large amount of money.
Yeah.
But nobody's really making any money out of this.
Exactly.
What is the solution, LaToya?
Legislation.
Okay, so tell me more. What kind of legislation?
Yeah, so we really ultimately think that childcare should be funded as a public good, the way we think about our K through 12 system. But here in Massachusetts, we have two bills on the table this year that would be historic if we're able to pass them. And what they would do is codify grants for our providers, so our providers would have predictable income. That way they can pay their staff, pay themselves, and not have to charge as much for families. We would broaden how many families are eligible for financial assistance. And so if our bills here in Massachusetts pass, the Senate bill, you could earn like $272,000 for a family of four and still qualify for financial assistance for childcare. And our House bill, you could earn, I want to say, $185,000 for a family of four and still qualify for financial assistance.
So that seems like really great first steps should they pass.
Yes.
Then there's this other problem, I think, LaToya, that many people are having of, there just isn't enough out there. And how do you find quality, reliable, safe childcare when it's a disincentive for people to run a childcare? Preschool costs are high.
Also, that's what some of this legislation would do. It would increase voucher reimbursement rate. And so what something I learned that makes my mouth drop open and everybody else's mouth drop open is how low the reimbursement rate is for providers.
And that is from the state?
That is from the state.
For children who qualify for a voucher because their family income is too low to pay, the providers are getting how much?
Less than 30% reimbursement rate.
And that's of market rate.
That's of market rate. But the thing about market rate, it's a rate that providers didn't decide. Someone else decided.
So it's even pitifully lower than we're imagining.
Right. It's pitifully lower than you're even imagining. And so we're really asking providers to subsidize this system. And that's unfair, and period. But then when you look at who our providers are, they are mostly women of color. And so we're asking women of color to subsidize childcare. And that's limiting their income potential. And that's why people are choosing to leave.
Yeah. Last thought.
Yeah.
LaToya, you are wearing a T-shirt that says, I am a childcare voter. What does that mean?
It means that you vote for the people who heard your story and are willing to put forth legislation that supports your needs. And it means once they're in office, that you hold them accountable to those needs.
And I want to ask you, are you speaking just to parents here?
No.
Who is a childcare voter?
Everyone is a childcare voter. Because if we had a day without childcare, everyone would be impacted. Parents, they're your doctors, they're your nurses, they're your garbage men, right? They're the people who are serving you food. Parents are everywhere. If there's no one to care for our children, then we can't get anything else done.
LaToya Gale, Senior Director of Advocacy for the nonprofit Neighborhood Villages in Boston. LaToya, call out your kids.
Hi, August, Julian, Summer, and Troy.
Hi there, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.